final score last night was 44-31. The Green Bay Packers throttled the Minnesota Vikings. And in fact, as I said earlier, the final score was not indicative of how uncompetitive the game was and how bad the Minnesota Vikings looked. I want to welcome into the program right now one of our Twin Cities, probably actually our only Twin Cities correspondent these days. His name is Jim Suhan. He writes a column for the Star Tribune newspaper. He's a talk show host on 1500 ESPN, and he joins us now on the Mike McFeely Show. Hello, Mr. Suhan. How are you? Have your eyes stopped bleeding yet from last night's ballgame?
Well, honestly, if you look at it purely from the standpoint of a Viking fan, which I'm paid not to be a fan, if you look at it from the standpoint of a Viking fan, it was a brutal night. If you look at it from standpoint of somebody who likes football, how can you not be captivated by that level of excellence at the quarterback position? I love watching Aaron Rodgers play. I love it even more when we get to see him play live.
Well, see, my wife was unhappy with me last night because we were watching the game on TV, and she is, in fact, a big Vikings fan. And she said, my God, I can't stand Aaron Rodgers. I can't stand the Packers. And I said, Michelle, if Aaron Rodgers was wearing purple, you'd love him because he's fantastic. He's just like Favre was for the Packers. All the Vikings fans hated him when he played in Green Bay. They loved him in 09. And I said, Rodgers would be the same way.
Yep.
She said, bleep you, and left and went to bed. So I don't think you're going to win that.
You have a normal marriage.
Oh, it's very normal. Yeah. Exactly right. So let me ask you this. Okay. I agree. Rodgers is fun to watch. The Packers are fun to watch. Yada, yada, yada.
You're rather dismissive today, Mike.
Oh, I'm very dismissive. What is the most dysfunctional part of the Vikings, Jim? Because on TV last night, and you can't judge anything by what they're saying on TV or the radio or anything else. That's fine. But it was all fixated. Collinsworth was all fixated on the quarterback, on Ponder. He was fixated on how bad the Vikings quarterback position is. And I kept looking at the score, and the Packers had scored 44 points. And I said, there's a heck of a lot more things going on here than just the quarterback. What's the most dysfunctional section of the Vikings? The front office, the coaching staff, the quarterback, the defense, what?
Well, the quarterback is the most important position. It's the most interesting position. And it's also the one thing that you can fix with one fell swoop, one correct signing, one tampering with Favre to get him to Minnesota, one draft choice. So it's the most interesting, it's the most captivating, it's the most easily changed, it's the best, it's the most fun to talk about. But the most dysfunctional is the entire chain of command through the general manager, through the secondary. Because Spielman has spent, you know, a lot of high draft choices trying to fix the secondary. They've signed people from the outside to try to fix the secondary. They thought their young guys were good enough that if they let Winfield go, the secondary would be fine. Frazier is a former defensive back and a former defensive coordinator and a former secondary coach. He handpicked his defensive coordinator as a former secondary coach. Everything should be in place for them to have a good set of cornerbacks and a good secondary, and they are horrible. That is the most dysfunctional because listen, Ponder was the right, wrong choice. We all know that. But, you know, Spielman ain't the first guy to look at a quarterback who's physically talented and say, okay, let's give him a shot. And they didn't have the first pick in the draft. They had a 12th pick in the draft, and they were desperate. They made a mistake of desperation. It's devastating to make that mistake, but it's also kind of understandable. You're going to make that mistake once in a while. The secondary is bad because of a long line of horrific mistakes, including letting Winfield go when the other guys weren't good enough.
The defensive line isn't exactly a bunch of world beaters either. Was that just a case of the Vikings misevaluating Jared Allen's age and Kevin Williams' age and a lot of other people's lack of skill at this point? I mean, Jared Allen comes out after the game and says that's the most embarrassing defense I've ever been a part of, but he's a part of that defense. He's a very key part of the defense, Jim. So that's bad too.
It's bad. I'm not sure that it was a cure for that one though. You know, we can look at it now and say, okay, second, the cornerbacks stink. You had a good cornerback, and you let him go for money. That's obviously a mistake. Even if it's a philosophically understandable that you let an old, expensive player go, and you try to fill in with top draft picks. Every NFL team does that. Every NFL team has to do that. It's an understandable mistake, but it turns into a devastating mistake when you can't replace him. Well, the opposite is true of the defensive line. They kept Jared Allen at an advanced age and a high salary. They kept Kevin Williams at an advanced age and a high salary. And they just aren't good enough. And I don't know if there's a solution for that. You know, your whole defensive scheme is predicated on getting a pass rush with four down linemen and not having the blitz and preventing the big play. And all of a sudden Kevin Williams and Jared Allen aren't getting there anymore, and Everson Griffin hasn't come along the way he should have. And Brian Robinson's a great hustle player, but he's not a dominant player. I don't know if there's, you know, what you needed to have happen there is you needed Everson Griffin to become a great speed pass rusher, and you needed Sharif Floyd to have a really good year, which I think was ruined when he had the knee injury in training camp, and you needed those guys to provide some life to open things up a little more for Allen and Williams as opposed to the other way around. And the kids, you know, have either been hurt or not good enough, and the old guys are just, they're old guys.
Jim Suhan, Star Tribune, 1500 ESPN, our guest on the Mike McFeely Show. We're talking Vikings debacle from last night. Where do they go from here for the rest of this season? Because there's still a lot of football season left, and the Vikings are showing no signs of getting anything done. I suppose they keep playing Josh Freeman whenever he gets healthy at quarterback and see what he has. But then how do they patchwork anything else together, Jim? Because their offensive line isn't blocking. Even if they were blocking, other teams are stacking the box. We've already talked about their defensive issues. What happens from here on out?
Well, you're looking at it all wrong. You're trying to think of ways they might win a game. Their goal now should be to go to 1-15. It's going to be a really good quarterback class next year. You want to have the highest possible pick. Frazier might have killed himself when he won that game in Washington. That wiped out the ability to take Robert Griffin III or have a chance at another top quarterback. They don't want to have that mistake repeated. There are going to be franchise quarterbacks available in the top five picks. You don't want to win three meaningless games and end up taking a left guard at the 15th spot. You want a quarterback out of this draft. You need to lose enough to get that quarterback. And here's my philosophical look at it. You gain nothing by playing Ponder at this point. He's not an NFL quarterback. You gain nothing by playing Matt Castle. He's an NFL backup. You play Freeman. If miraculously he fixes his mechanics, comes around, and wins the five straight games, well, then maybe you have a quarterback, and maybe you can use the second pick in the, you know, maybe use the 10th pick in the draft on a defensive lineman or a cornerback. If Freeman is terrible, well, then maybe you end up 1-15, and you have a clear cut decision on taking the best quarterback available.
Johnny Manziel, is that the guy the Vikings want? He's the name that's out there. He's the Heisman Trophy winner. My producer right now is shaking his head, saying, no, 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 don't take Johnny Football. Is that the guy the Vikings want, Jim?
That's the guy I want. The Vikings would, you know, the vibe, I guess, for the Vikings is they just want the best quarterback they can get. I think they like Manziel. I love Manziel. He, you know, to me, he's Russell Wilson with a stronger arm and a stronger college resume. He's highly competitive. He has great, he has the best feet I think I've ever seen. He has excellent mechanics. He's accurate. He can throw the deep ball. He can buy time. He can run for first downs and touchdowns. Incredibly competitive. Has charisma, loves the spotlight. And here's something I've changed my mind on. I was like everybody else this summer, I'm like, okay, this guy's an idiot. He's out there partying. He doesn't know how to handle limelight, right? Well, he partied all summer. He got in trouble. He said stupid things. He hung out with the wrong crowd. He slept through the Manning passing camp. He did everything wrong this offseason, right? After winning the Heisman Trophy?
Yep.
And he's playing better this year. In other words, none of that stuff's going to bother him. None of that stuff's going to derail him. You don't want, you know, the reason you don't want somebody out there partying and running around is because you don't want to affect their career. He's gotten better. He's better this year than he was last year.
That, you know what? That's just going to enable him, though. You're just being an enabler. He's going to party harder, and he's going to be out later, and he's going to do all. He's going to have more women and more trouble. He's just going to keep saying that if the more I do, the better I get. So you're really enabling him to do
those
things.
Yeah, you know, it destroyed Joe Namath's ability to win Super Bowl. It really did.
Is Leslie Frazier done?
You don't think Brett Favre had that lifestyle?
Oh,
had that lifestyle when he was married.
Well, that's true. And Vikings fans loved him. Is Frazier done? Not maybe during the season, but is he done after this year, Jim? Especially if things keep going the way they are.
Yes, and he's done somewhat because of Spielman's decisions at quarterback and cornerback. Spielman did not give him a quarterback or cornerbacks who could win in this league. But Leslie's not completely blameless. He had three chances to hire coordinators. He went over three. Puggish, Williams, Musgrave, none of them are NFL coordinators. He blew it with those guys, and he blew it by pushing Darrell Bevell out the door. Darrell Bevell is now doing great work for Seattle Seahawks and might be an NFL head coach in a year. And he could have been their offensive coordinator, and I really think he's a smart guy.
Have you issued your apology to Jerry Kill and the Gophers yet? Because you had him with 3 feet out the door, and they just beat Nebraska, Jim, with Tracy Clays in the sidelines, and Jerry Kill not coaching the team. Do you owe an apology to the Gophers, or are you confident where you stood with that program?
I'm waiting for them to apologize to me. Here's the premise. However I wrote it, here was the premise of the column. No real football program in any real state at any real football university would think it's okay to have your highly paid head coach not be able to coach games. And I'm going to stand by that no matter what happens. They win the national championship. I'm going to say it's not you don't want a situation where your head coach can't be on the sideline, can't be at practice. My information is that Jerry Kill agrees with me on that one, by the way. Now, something interesting has happened, though, in the interim. While I still don't consider it to be ideal, I think we found out that Jerry Kill might have been holding the coordinators back. Tracy Plays is a better sideline coach than Jerry Kill. He's calmer. He makes better in-game decisions. He makes better strategic decisions. He doesn't blow up and lose his mind the way Jerry does, which I think also sometimes hurts Jerry's health. And Matt Linegrover last week, with Jerry not around really putting his thumbprint on the offensive game plan, had the best offensive game plan I've ever seen from a Gopher team. It was brilliant. And it was brilliant going in, and it was brilliant the way he adapted as the game went on. I think Plays has made much better decisions about who should be at quarterback snap to snap than Jerry did. So I think Jerry, you know, had built kind of a foundation of a decent program here. And I think in some strange way, the program has actually benefited that Jerry's been in the booth instead of on the sideline the last couple of weeks.
Well, and here's where it's made my life somewhat easier is that now there's going to be no more speculation coming from me or anybody else that Craig Bohl might end up in Minneapolis next year because, you know, Kill's going to be around or Clay's is going to be around. However that dynamic is going to work, they're not going to change their coaching staff. So now, Jim, with the Gophers beating Bo Pelini in Nebraska on Saturday, now we can turn our attention to could Craig Bohl go back to Lincoln, Nebraska and coach the Cornhuskers after Bo Pelini gets fired after this year. See, it never ends. Well, it's kind of fun.
No, it is kind of fun. And I think, you know, I said that a few weeks ago that the Gophers would be lucky to have Craig Bohl as head coach. I'll stand by that. I still think they'd be lucky to have him if it ever worked out that way. I think Nebraska would be lucky to have him. Bo Pelini got outcoached by yards by Plays and Linegrover on Saturday. He got outcoached by yards. And if you watch that game closely, there were a lot of opportunities for Nebraska players to make physical plays or put their bodies in harm's way trying to make a play. They really weren't interested. And that's how you know a coach has lost the team.
All right. Jim, thank you. Always appreciate the time.
Thanks, Michael.
Yeah, you bet. Jim Suhan of the Star Tribune and 1500 ESPN.